Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are well into chapter number 20. I think I said last episode we were going to start today in verse 10. I missed it. We're starting in verse 9, but we're right in that section where David has now dodged a bullet, so to speak. Remember, he ran from Saul, was let outside of the window of his house by Michal, but God upended the whole thing by making Saul actually strip and prophesy. We talked about that a couple episodes ago. And now it appears that Saul is in one of his cycles where, okay, David, I'm sorry, you can come back. And David is supposed to be, he's scheduled to be at kind of the leaders meeting every month. They have a leaders meeting. He's supposed to be there. And David says to Jonathan, I just am uneasy about going, so I'm not going to go, and just gauge how my dad responds to that. If he gets really, really mad, then I think we both know he wants to kill me. And Jonathan, honestly, if I have done something worthy of death, then I'll accept that consequence. So David's heart, again, is revealed. He's kind of created this scenario, and we're going to find out now what happens. So look at verse 9, 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 9. And Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee. For if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell thee? In other words, Jonathan said, I'm not complicit with my dad. That I'm not some kind of a secret operative here that's out here to kill you and execute judgment on behalf of the kingdom. David, you don't know me by now. You can trust me, okay? I am not going to, you are not worthy of death here. Verse number 10, then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly? And Jonathan said unto David, and he's going to set up a scenario here. So, John, let me let you weigh in there. What do you make of Jonathan's response to David?
You know, I think Jonathan is just impressing upon David, you know, I am not involved, my father, on this. David, you know, you're my good friend. I care about you. I'm here to help you. I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to get through the situation. And, you know, what's going to happen, obviously, is Jonathan's going to find out his father's heart. But Jonathan responds very well to David, and he just affirms to him, hey, I am on your side. I'm plugging for you, David, and I will do what I can to help you.
So last episode, we talked about the scenario that David set up in order to ascertain Saul's heart. And now we're going to find a scenario that Jonathan sets up. So verse number 11, Jonathan said unto David, come, let us go out into the field. And they went out, both of them, into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. These are rich, rich words. So what is the deal here that Jonathan is striking with David?
You know, this is a great covenant that Jonathan is making here. We have seen earlier where Jonathan made a covenant. The Bible tells us, didn't give us the details of all of that. But here we get some good details about what Jonathan's saying. Jonathan does know that God is going to bless David and that someday David is going to prosper. David's enemies will be gone. And Jonathan says, Dave, when that happens in your life, you know, I want you to remember my family. Be kind to my family. David, I'm going to tell you what my dad is thinking, whether that's good or that's evil. You're going to know. And David, God is going to use you. And I want you to remember me and my family in the future.
Jonathan said, regardless of what I learn about the situation, if my dad is kind to you, I'm going to come get you back. But if he's not, and I think the implication is, and we know that he's not going to be, that I'm going to let you know that, David. And David, that probably is going to mean that we'll never see each other again. It's probably going to mean that our relationship, as far as spending any kind of substantive time together, is over. So let me just say this now. I believe in what God's doing in your life. I believe in the future God has promised you. And I'm just asking, and I will do anything I can to promote you and to protect you. But David, I'm asking that you would then honor my family, because there's coming a day when you're going to be the king and there's going to be no enemies. And I'm going to have family members, and we're going to see in a wonderful, wonderful way how David honors this covenant years from now. But what a humble way for the son of the king to treat this young man, David.
This is a great way. We find here the humility of Jonathan. We find here the confidence that Jonathan has in God. I mean, this is just a great day. And you're right, Pastor. This would be a sad day in a way, because Jonathan, I think, does know how it's going to turn out. And he's not going to be able to rub shoulders with David very much anymore at all. These men have to part from each other. But this is a great covenant. This is a great template in Scripture for how to deal with those whom we care about and assure them that God is with them.
It's a great template for human covenant, because it certainly is a covenant into which Jonathan and David are entering. But any valid human covenant is one that is sealed by the presence of the oversight of God. And look at how Jonathan begins his conversation in verse number 12. Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel. So I'm talking to David, but I'm talking to God too. I'm making the covenant with the full realization that I'm making this in front of and within the scope of the truth of God himself.
This reminds me so much of, wedding ceremonies that are done from the right perspective, where, often the minister will say, before God and all these witnesses, and you're right, Pastor, if we as believers, when we make promises, when we make covenants, they are before God, and we ought ever be mindful of that in our lives.
Right. It's what we are making. We're giving our word. Now, your word alone ought to be enough, but you're giving your word to another person, and they're giving their word to you. There's a mutuality, but then there's always the third person in that covenant, and that's God himself. It's that triangle that we often see in premarital counsel, and that is for any relationship to be what it ought to be trustworthy, to be permanent, it's going to have to include the Lord. He's the empowerment and he's the accountability. And Jonathan understood that.
It reminds me as a Christian that everything I do in life is before my Heavenly Father, and I ought always bear that in mind. All that I live, all that I do is before God, and I ought to be a person of integrity.
Verse number 16, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David. So it wasn't just an agreement with David, but this was an agreement that would transcend generations. So he made this covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow's the new moon. So then he goes on. We'll talk about that here in a bit. But just to put an end to this covenant portion, John, he speaks to motive now. And the motive here is, David, I love you.
Yes.
And love is going to always put its object on a higher pedestal than itself.
This is just a great example of how Christ has died for us and Christ has loved us and Christ loved us as his own soul. And I think of in the marriage, we talked about marriage a moment ago, but I think in Ephesians 5, it talks about husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, and I as a husband, I'll love my wife with this kind of same intensity that Christ has for the church. A love like this is not human. It reminds me of 1 John 4:7-8, that it has to be from God.
It has to be. And it's the expectation of spousal love, husband to wife. Love her as you love your own body. And that's impossible outside of the empowerment of the filling of God's Holy Spirit in our life, because it's a love that comes from God. And unless we're connected to God and yielded to God, we are not going to be able to extend this kind of love to anybody.
That's for sure right. And here Jonathan has this kind of sacrificial love where Jonathan would have been willing to die for David if necessary. He loved Jonathan. Jonathan loved David deeply. And this is just a touching passage of Scripture.
That's a tough one to say there. Yes. Touching passage of Scripture. Look at verse number 18. So the covenant portion is over. Back to the larger discussion at hand, and that is Jonathan's plan to ascertain the heart of Saul and then to communicate that to David. So verse number 18, Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone Azel." So there's a specific place I want you to hide. I'll know where you are, David. No one else will. "And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, 'Go find out the arrows.' If I expressly say unto the lad, 'Behold, the arrows are on this side of thee,' take them. Then come thou, for there is peace to thee and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say unto the young man, 'Behold, the arrows are beyond thee,' go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever." So the plan was, hey, hide. That was David. That was his initial suggestion anyway. "I'm going to find out. David, you're going to be up by this rock. I'm going to shoot these arrows. If they land in front of you, then just come on out and grab the arrows and come see me, because everything's going to be fine. But if I shoot them beyond you, that's really a symbol that this is beyond any of us. And it's your marching orders that you'll need to leave."
And I love how Jonathan ends this whole passage here as he again brings God into the equation. He knows these may be some of the final words he says to David, and he says, "The Lord be between me and thee forever." And I just love the way he closes that.
Yeah, the point is, David, I'm expecting that those arrows are going to go beyond you. I'm expecting that we are talking now. You're going to hide, and the last time I'm going to see you. And they do see each other. We'll talk about that. But this is essentially it. But we know this. In God, in Christ, there is always togetherness. And while I'll be absent, I think about Paul meeting with those Ephesian elders, and they're weeping. But why? Because they're not going to see his face anymore. But Paul's still with them. I'm there. I remember what he said to the Corinthians. "I'm there in my spirit. I'm judging this case as if I were there. I'm forgiving as if I were there." And there's just a certain closeness, a certain commonality, a certain connectedness that can only take place as people mutually know God.
And here, Jonathan, this had to be a great event in David's life down the road, thinking back to this precious day when he made a covenant with his friend. Actually, his friend made a covenant with him. He was the initiator. But this is just a great day in David's life as far as the relationship between Jonathan and David in the Lord Jesus Christ.
When Wanda and I, my wife Wanda and I, were dating, sometimes we'd talk on the phone at night, and I'd say, "Go outside and look at the moon." And I'd say, you're looking at the same moon I'm looking at right now. We're thousands of miles away from each other, but look, we're looking at the same moon. And there was a closeness to that. But we have something better than that. We have something much better than that. We have the same God. And he's not way out there somewhere in the universe. He dwells in your heart and in my heart as New Testament believers. And there's that connectedness. What connects people, really connects people, is the Lord. Jonathan recognized that. David recognized that. And that was something that kept them going for years and years to come. Well, I hope that helps today. And I hope you have a great rest of your day. Looking forward to continuing this dramatic story next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.